الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحا. وقال الله تعالى في آية أخرى أنا التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. الحمد لله. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not called us this year to Mina, Arafah, Muzdalifah, Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Munawwarah, but alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala has made us alive at this blessed time. Just like there are some blessed places in our deen, Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Munawwarah, Baitul Maqaddis, just like that there are some special times and moments in our deen, like the month of Ramadan and like these 10 days of Zulhijjah. What does that mean? That means that even if we are sitting here, we have to learn the same lesson that Allah Ta'ala wants the whole Ummah to learn on Hajj. And one of those lessons is to make true Tawbah to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This is why Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala commanded in Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, Tubu ilallah, you should all turn in tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawbatan nasuha, a true and sincere and deep and lasting tawbah. And it may be possible that somebody here may make even truer tawbah than somebody sitting in Mina. All depends on a person's heart. And it may be possible that even somebody sitting in Leicester may get as much maghfirah, as much forgiveness, as much rahmah, as much mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it down on the people of Arafah. And we should think that right now at this moment, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 million Muslims are making dua for the forgiveness of the entire ummah. You will never have maybe such so many people making dua for you. Because me and you are, alhamdulillah, members of that ummah. We should think that there's a woman from black Africa making dua for us. There's a man from white Europe making dua for us. There's an elderly couple from oriental China making dua for us. There are young men and women all over the Muslim ummah making dua for our maghfirah. So if millions of people are making dua for my maghfirah on this night before Arafat, why shouldn't I also make dua Allah Ta'ala for my own maghfirah? Why shouldn't I also learn how to make tawbah to my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is the feelings we should feel, the feelings of the Hujjaj, because they are feelings for this ummah. We shouldn't be disconnected in our own world that okay, I'm here and they're there. So Zulhijjah and Eid is much more about celebrating that day or praying Eid Salah on that day or eating meat or sacrificing meat on that day. This Eid is an Eid for us to make Tawbah. We must make Tawbah in these next 1 or 2 days to have something to celebrate on that day of Eid. Now what does Tawbah mean? Tawbah means a process by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ummah to erase their sin. Just like you see on your mobile phone, there's a button, command called delete. If you hit delete, then whatever you delete gets erased from the memory of that phone. Nothing in the world can bring it back. You delete somebody's contact, you delete their message, you delete their number. When you hit the delete button, it is removed, gone forever. The tawbah is just like a delete button. Allah Ta'ala gave us a button to press called tawbah. If you press the delete button on whatever sin that you did, however great, however gross, however crude, Allah Ta'ala is willing to wipe away the record of that sin forever. This is why Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said a hadith that's in the Sahih Sitta, "At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lahu," that person who makes tawbah from a sin is just like the person who never did a sin. Such completely erased, we would say in English, Allah Ta'ala enables a person to wipe all the traces and remnants and histories and memories of that sin away. But that tawbah has to be maqbool. That tawbah has to be accepted by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In order for that tawbah to be accepted by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, it has to be nasuh. This word Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, tawbatun nasuha. So nasuh means true tawbah. So what's the difference between my tawbah and true tawbah? How can I make my tawbah true tawbah? So there are a few conditions for that. First condition, easiest condition, is a person should have niyyah, intention, that I will never ever do that sin again. I will never ever want that sin again. I will never ever desire that sin again. I will never ever think about that sin again. That's the first condition. And if a person feels sad that they did a sin, and they claim that they make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but inside their heart they still want to do that sin, then it's not tawbah to nasuh. So this is the first mistake many of us make. That we do feel shame, we do feel regret, we do feel that Allah ta'ala, we want you to forgive us for doing it, but deep down in our heart we secretly want to do it again. Now, if deep in your heart you want to secretly, there are no secrets from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe secretly from creation, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's on your tongue, Allah making tawbah, and He can also see what's in your heart, Allah, I want to do it again. So that would not become tawbah to nasuh. In fact, some of the mashayikh used to say that you have to make tawbah from such a tawbah. Making an insincere, hypocritical tawbah like that is itself a sin that you have to repent from. So that is what really we've come here to do tonight. And that's what everyone on Hajj wants to do in Arafah. They want to make tawbah from the insincere tawbah. Nobody who comes to masjid, nobody who goes all the way to Hajj, wants to be a sinner. Everyone wants to be free from sin. But the problem is we make untrue, insincere tawbah. If only we could make tawbah from that untrue tawbah and make true tawbah, then we would be cleared. So the person should make niyat that they will never ever do that sin again. Sometimes shaitan, he uses his power of waswasa. He plants a thought in the person's mind. That what do you mean you'll never do it again? Of course you're going to do it again. You're too weak not to do it again. So then the person loses hope. The person says, yes, I'm so weak because I can't leave this habit of mine. I can't leave this addiction of mine. I can't leave this sin of mine. So whenever a shaitan puts this thought in a person's mind, what the person should think is, yes, I am too weak. Shaitan, you're right, I am too weak to leave this sin. But I can present this weakness of mind that you, shaitan, are just reminding me of, I can present this weakness of mind to my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala is too strong, He can take me out of this sin. So I know I can't get out of sin, but Allah ta'ala can take me out of sin. That's the difference. This is what our mashayikh in Urdu used to say, that you should present your miskini to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should present your weakness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should present your hopelessness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody feels, no, I'm a hopeless sinner. You should present that hopelessness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you out of sin. Why? Because He promised in Quran, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah Ta'ala said in Quran that Allah Ta'ala is Himself the wali. One is that we want to try to become wali of Allah. May or may not happen. But if you have iman in your qalb, guarantee of Quran that Allah is your wali. Allah is your intimate, loving, benevolent friend. Allah says He is the wali of all alladhina amanu. Not just awliya, muttaqeen, sadiqeen, siddiqeen. No. Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu. And what does part of it mean that He's our wali? يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah Ta'ala, He will take us out of our sins into the light of obedience. He will take us out of our ignorance into the light of knowledge. He will take us out of our immodesty into the nur and the radiance of purity and spirituality. This is our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should remember that on the one hand, shaitan reminds me of my nafs. I remind myself of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remind myself of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how much does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erase sin? Allahu Akbar, amazing thing. You know, you go to the courts of this world, right? And let's say somebody accuses you of something. And let's say you defend yourself successfully. And you're actually innocent. And even you prove yourself to be innocent. And even the court declares you're innocent. They will still never wipe it off the record. If you go to them and say, okay, look, I'm innocent. Now I want you to delete all those old newspaper articles about me. I want you to delete my name from the court register. I want you to delete the fact that this case ever happened. They'll say, no, we can never do that. We may say you're innocent, but it will always remain on the court register. It will always remain in the history of the court. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who says that if you make tawbah to me, I will delete your sin from the book of deeds. It will not even be there on the court of the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Look how forgiving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Look how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Completely deleted. Completely gone. Gone from the memory of the angels who even wrote it. Gone. Gone from the memory of the earth who witnessed it. Gone. Completely wiped away. Now, what a person should want, right? So first thing to get true tawbah is to have this niyyah. Second thing, some mashayikh have mentioned some du'as. And if we make this particular ways of making du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it can make us more true in our tawbah. First way is that using the barakah of Bismillah, which is the meaning Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, Tabarakasmu Rabbik, and full of barakah is the name of your Rabb. And Allah Ta'ala taught us in Quran to begin with Bismillah Rahman Rahim. So some mashayikh, they used to make du'a like this, Allahumma inni as'aluka bihaqqi Bismillah Rahman Rahim. That, O Allah, I ask you, I make dua to you in the name of Bismillah Rahman Rahim. I invoke this tasmiyah, this beautiful phrase that you gave me, that you revealed to me in Quran. I ask upon you using that Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Tubu alayya, Allah Ta'ala, send, return, relent to me, accept my tawbah, innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Indeed, you are the beginning who loves to accept tawbah, and you are the beginning being who is all merciful. So that's one way. One way, what is this? This is barakah. Yes, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take us out of sin. That's what we're trying to say. My ability may not be able to take me out of sin. My resolve may not be able to take me out of sin. But Allah ta'ala, not only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the name of Allah, if I could learn how to say it with my heart, even that can take me out of sin. So to make dua to Allah ta'ala using His greatest name. Others said that no, you can. Others give another dua that you can make like this: Allah magfirli fa inni la aqdiru ala tawbah. That, O Allah, I ask that you forgive me because I'm not able to leave the sin. I ask that you forgive me for this inability. I should have been strong enough to leave anything and everything for your sake. But again, if you're not, then present that weakness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Confess to that sin that I'm not strong enough to leave sin. That itself is a sin. Right? That if you want somebody to obey you, your wife doesn't do something, right? You want her to do it. Now if she says to you, forgive me, I'm unable to do it, she's still not doing it, right? But the language she uses, forgive me for being unable to do it, because she says forgive me, you become soft. So saying like that doesn't mean you go back to the sin, but it means you present this hopelessness, inability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, some people have asked that, okay, ask the mashayikh that what if we have a friend who is on sin? Maybe a spouse, maybe a child, maybe a parent, maybe a sibling, maybe a neighbor, maybe a friend. And they're not leaving that sin. So how can we make dua for them? So some mashayikh used to say that you should use three of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names. First two are those, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the all-merciful one, and the all-mercy-giving one. And third one is Hadi. Al-Hadi means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attribute of giving hidayah, of giving guidance. So, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Hadi. That you should say this 21 times after every salah, and you have to do it for 4 months. Allahu Akbar. Yes, you have to do it for 4 months, 21 times. This was their experience, right? That if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so many times, after every first salah for 4 months, and can be for yourself also, if this is when somebody's addicted to sin, especially when it has to do with unlawful lust and unlawful love, and they say, I just can't forget that person, I can't get over that person, I can't stop that habit, they should make use of this dua. Very short dua, very short dua. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Hadi, 21 times after every first salah, but for 4 months. Yes? For 4 months, because it's a deep-rooted sin. It's a sin you're deeply mired in, stuck in, drowning in. So you will have to make effort. But a person should say it, thinking of the meaning of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thinking of the meanings of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright. Next, waswasa that shaitan puts in the heart, the mind of a person. Shaitan says that, look, even if you make tawbah, you're just going to fall down again. So first thing he said, you won't be able to keep up, you won't be true to your tawbah. Then sometimes he graphically reminds a person. So that's no excuse not to make tawbah. You should still make tawbah. Just like if a person is dirty and they go take a shower, if you go tell them, what's the point of taking a shower, you're just going to get dirty again. They say, you're crazy. If I get dirty again, I'll take a shower again. Or if there's a dirty piece of clothing and you say, what are you putting in the washing machine? When it gets clean, you wear it, so it's going to get dirty again. You would say, why didn't you put it in the washing machine again? So same thing about tawbah. Tawbah doesn't mean it's one shot only. No. You make tawbah. If you fall into the sin, you make tawbah again. If you fall into the sin again, you make tawbah again. It comes in a sahih hadith that there will be one believer who will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that. That in his book of deeds, he did sin, he made tawbah for sin, then he repeated sin, then again he made tawbah for sin, then he repeated sin. He could never break the cycle. He could never come out into taqwa. Taqwa means staying away from the sin. He couldn't do it. His whole life was spent like this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call him, will judge him, and will tell the angels and all angels, his book of deeds bears witness that he kept repeating the sin, but it also bears witness that every single time he sinned, he presented himself in tawbah to me. That all angels bear witness on this day, that if my servant and slave, if nafs and shaitan never tired of making him do sin, at the same time my servant and slave never tired of asking me for my mercy, to know that I send my mercy and I forgive him on this day. Allah is Allah. Allah is Allah. So we should never stop making tawbah. Maybe some of us may have to make tawbah. Don't you see sometimes in this world, sometimes it takes 10 attempts to do something, sometimes it takes 100 attempts to do something. It's no problem. Some of us, there may be one sin we can leave it after making tawbah 10 times. There may be another sin we can only leave it after making tawbah 1,000 times. You have to reach that 1,000, and shaitan knows that if the mu'min is sincere and keeps making tawbah, eventually he'll leave it. So he tries to cut you at the root. And let me tell you why. Because shaitan, there's nothing more than shaitan hates more than tawbah. When the mu'min does tawbah. You know why? Because it's the one thing he was never able to do. It's the one thing, Mashaykh explained, it's the one thing he was never able to do, so he hates it when Bani Adam does tawbah. Hates it. He'd do anything to prevent us from doing tawbah. So you should say, no, I'll make tawbah. Maybe I have to make 1,000, maybe I have to make 10,000 tawbahs for the sin. Maybe on the 10,000th try, I'll succeed. No problem. I'm here. I was born to try. I was born to make effort to try to please my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no limit. So that's why a person should always make tawbah. So that was the first thing. All of this was niyyah. Second thing that can help us get our tawbah accepted. In Arabic, this is called istinab al-mahara. That you must stay away from all of those gatherings of sin. You must stay away from those environments of sin. I'll give you an example. You take a diamond and you put it in the gutter. You know gutter, sewer? Now if you leave it in the sewer, you can pour 1,000,000 gallons of clean water on it. Unless you take it out of the gutter, it will never get clean. Just like that is our qalb. And our iman is infinitely more priceless than a diamond. And if we keep it in the environment of sin, gatherings of sin, parties of sin, media of sin, technology of sin, we keep exposing it to that, it's like we put it in the gutter. That if on top of that you pray and you make dua, you're just pouring water on it, which has maybe a temporary effect, But unless you take it out of the gutter, then the gutter water just comes right back. So you have to take ourselves out of those gatherings or memories or anything that comes to sin. Sometimes it also means a person. Sometimes one reason why we can't unhook ourselves off of that sin is because we remain connected to that person who keeps us hooked on that sin. That's why Allah Ta'ala taught us to make dua. Almost all of us made it right now in Salatul Witr. It's part of dua funut. وَنَخْلَأُ وَنَتْرُكُ مَنْ يَفْجُرُكُ. Then I seclude myself and I leave مَنْ يَفْجُرُكُ, that person who disobeys you. But we're saying it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every night, that I will disconnect myself and I will leave that person who disobeys you. But then again we go back to them, again we meet them, and they keep us hooked. So unhook yourself from that person who has keep you hooked onto sin. That's another thing we have to do. Third way to make our tawbah more accepted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to do a good deed that is from the same category of deed of sin that we did. What does it mean? For example, if one of our sin was that a person, let's say, they used to drink, right? So they make tawbah from that. So if they want to get their tawbah to be more true, they should now maybe build a well in some poor Muslim country, let's say in sub-Saharan Africa, so that Muslim brothers and sisters can have clean water to drink. Let's say they committed the sin of unlawful relationship with somebody of the opposite gender, then what they should do, they should try to finance somebody who wants to get married but is too poor to get married. They should help that person into halal nikah. They should arrange somebody's marriage according to the teachings of Islam. If they help somebody do halal nikah, that may be a compensation for the haram act. If they used to do lots of sin, they used to do that sin a lot, then they should try to do a lot of ibadah. If they engage in some financial sin, let's say riba or interest, or bribery or corruption or fraud or false marketing, false advertising, unfair business practices, then they should engage in giving lots of sadaqah, lots of charity. If they make a good deed from the same category of sin, then it's more chance that their tawbah will be more accepted. Greatest example of this is from Sahaba Ikram. Two examples I'll give you of Sahaba Ikram. One is Sayyidina Washir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. All of you know he committed the sin of being the person who killed Sayyidina Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the beloved of Sayyidina Rasulullah. And Sayyidina Rasul was heartbroken after he lost his uncle. And then later on, after Fatih Makkah, Washi accepted Islam. And when he accepted Islam, Ajib Hadith, Sahidi, the Prophet told him, okay, I accept your iman and I also forgive you. But, Allahu Akbar, but I don't want you to ever come in front of me. You should never come in my eyesight. Now can you imagine being told that? Imagine the Prophet telling you that. Imagine being a Sahaba and your Nabi Kareem Sallallahu telling you that. You should never come in front of me, because when you come in front of me, I will inevitably remember that incident and I will feel a sadness in my heart. That's the end of the words of the Hadith. Now the Muhaddiseen have tried to understand this, right? Because when me and you think about it, we would think that, okay, well, but Sayyidina Rasulullah is rahmatul alameen, he's the most forgiving one, Allah Ta'ala sent him as a mercy for all the worlds, and there are many, many other also kuffar who had killed many, many Sahaba Ikram, and they accepted Islam, and the Prophet didn't say that to them. What was this special thing to Washi? So one muhaddith explained this in an ajeeb way. Okay, I'll just share that with you. So he said that actually, yes, there were other unbelievers who had now accepted Iman and become Sahaba Ikram, who had also done some terrible things. And the Prophet ﷺ did not say this to any one of them. But because Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ had a special family, personal, deep love for Sayyidina Hamza, radiallahu anhu, he would not be able to forget the incident when he saw Washi. And the Prophet ﷺ would not mind at all himself. But Sayyidina Rasul was worried that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah ta'ala loves the Prophet so much, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the Prophet being reminded of that sorrow, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be less pleased with Vashti. So because of his love for Vashti, because he didn't want Vashti to even risk becoming slightly displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the sorrow would come back in his heart. So out of his love for Vashti, he used to tell him, don't come in front of me. Allahu Akbar, rahmatan lil alameen. Even with Vashti. Yes. That's why we need muhaddithin. Cannot understand hadith on your own. Never. That person who gave up his whole life, they gave their whole lives to understand hadith. Not just to great narrators, to understand the sunnah, to explain the feelings of the sunnah. We must learn hadith from muhaddithin. Look at a beautiful way they explained it. Now it's so clear to us. So clear to us. SubhanAllah. So what did Vashti do? So after Sayyidina Rasulullah passed away, he kept thinking, I have to keep making up. And then he got an opportunity. Some fellow by the name of Musaylama, he thought he could claim himself as a Nabi. And Sahaba said that we must take him out. So Vashti made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, before I had Iman, I made this one mistake. Now I have Iman, Allah ta'ala, my heart desires you accept this end. And this same spear that struck Sayyidina Hamza, except this same hand to throw the spear at Musaylama. And Allah Ta'ala accepted it, alhamdulillah. And he became the Qatil, the slayer of that false Nabi, Musaylama al-Kazzab, Sayyidina Vashti radiallahu anhu. He made up for the sin, mistake that he made before he was Muslim, but he made up for it by doing a good deed of the same kind. Same kind. There are many, many stories of Sahaba. So that was the second thing. First thing was to make your niyat sincere, to get tawbah more accepted. Second thing was to do a good deed from the same category of bad sin. Third thing, that when we violate the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we want our tawbah to be accepted, we should make sure, this is what is called raddul madhalim in Arabic, we should make sure we return the rights of hukukul ibad. If we wrong someone, if we hurt someone, if we misappropriated something from someone, if we harmed someone, if we cheated someone, we should return their haq to them. If we return their haq to them, then that will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more happy to forgive us for sins. And this starts right in the closest. The husband should ask the wife for forgiveness. Wife should ask the husband for forgiveness. Husband, man doesn't think like that. He starts way out there. He'll go back and remember, oh, when I was in high school, I wronged one friend of mine, and he's such a good friend of mine now anyway. So I'll go ask him for forgiveness. So bahut asaan kaam hai. No. Start with the closest, with the immediate family members, with the spouse, with the parents, with the children. And then Allah Ta'ala said, look at my servant, he's so sincere. He's true tawbah. Look how sincere he is. He's going around and trying to get everybody else to forgive him. And I'm al-ghafoor al-ghafar. Look at him running around trying to get creation to forgive him. Allah Ta'ala will say, I am Ghafoor Ghafar, I your creator, I will forgive you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. So you should seek the forgiveness of others in this world, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him his forgiveness. Alright. Now, what does a person get if they make tawbah? So if a person makes true tawbah, what is it that they get? So first you should listen to one hadith. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu afru bi tawbati abdihi al-mu'min, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more happy when his servant and slave, believing servant and slave, makes tawbah to him, min al-dhali idha wajad, more happy than when there is a baby child who is lost, missing, maybe even kidnapped. When that missing child is found, can you imagine how devastated a mother is when her child goes missing? Whereabouts unknown. And every night she's waiting for her news of her child. Every time somebody knocks, every time somebody calls, she hopes and thinks it's news of her child. And then imagine if after so many years, finally her child is discovered and brought back to her. Imagine how happy that mother would be. Sayyidina Rasulullah taught us in hadith that Allah Ta'ala is even more happier than the mother who has lost and discovered her lost child. Allah Ta'ala is even more happy when his runaway servant and slave turns back in tawbah to him. Allahu Akbar. Allah, Allah. Allah Ta'ala loves it. Loves it. Then another example, Sayyidina Rasulullah said, Wal aqimu idha walad. What does this mean? Aqim is that woman who is not able to have a child. You know that woman, how much dua she makes so she can have children. She asks everyone going on Hajj to make dua for her. She asks everybody in Ramadan who's fasting to make dua for her. She's giving charity. She's praying tahajjud. She may do this for years and years, and imagine after 10, 15, 20 years, she finally gets pregnant, and then she has a baby, and then imagine the happiness with which she takes the baby, healthy baby, in her arms. Allah said that Allah Ta'ala is even more happy than that woman is to find the mother, to finally become a mother. More happy than that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when his runaway servant and slave come back and tawbah to him. No. Third example seen that Rasulullah gave was the example of a person who was lost in the desert, had their camel, and they went to sleep, and they woke up, and the camel's gone. Camel wandered off, and they're in the middle of the desert, and there's no way you can tell the direction because the dew sands are shifting because of the wind. And they stand there, and they're just looking, and they can't see anything. And they keep waiting, then they get thirsty, then time passes, until the person becomes so hopeless, they're convinced they will die now. They know that it's over for me, I'm going to die. And they keep thinking that mental anguish, right? And they stay in that until they pass out physically. And then when they come to, they see the camel back in front of them. The happiness they would feel at finding the camel and their water sacks on it, even more happier than that, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when his runaway servant and slave comes back to him in tawbah. Allahu afrahu, afrahu. More happy, more joy. Allah ta'ala is more overjoyed. Allahu akbar. How overjoyed does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become? Allah ta'ala said in Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. How overjoyed He gives His muhabba to the people of Tawbah. Allahu Akbar. Ya Allah, Your love should be for Muttaqeen. Your love should be for Muhsineen. Your love should be for Siddiqeen. Allah Ta'ala said, yeah, My love is for all of them. That's also Quran. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That's also Quran. But Allah Ta'ala said, Tawwabin. Not even Ta'ibin. Those in Arabic, Nukta, Tawwab. Tawwab, you know, Tawwab means the person who makes lots of Tawbah, repeated Tawbah, over and over Tawbah, millions of Tawbah. But you mean you have to make millions of sin? So if a person wants to know in Quran, is there any ayah for a sinner like me? Is there any hope for a sinner like me? I'm living in 21st century, I have my nafs, I have so many, many, many sins. Yes, I am Quran for sinners like us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those believers who did so many, 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 many sins and also did so many, 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 many tawbahs over the sins. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ. It's ayah, we should write it. We should keep it in our pocket. You know? And we should look at it sometimes. And whenever we do sin, we should look at it and say, okay, if I make tawbah, Allah can still love me. Means that there's no sin that a person can do, no amount of sin, no enormity of sin that any mu'min can do, except that all they have to do is make tawbah and they become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beloved, not just forgiven, not just accepted, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, Allah Ta'ala could have said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ التَّوَّابِينَ. It would have been a lot. Allah Ta'ala forgives the people of Tawbah. Allah Ta'ala could have said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتُوبُ عَلَى التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah Ta'ala relents towards the people of Tawbah. No. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the people who make Tawbah. Most beloved act. That's why on this journey of love that is called Hajj, what is the climax of that journey of Hajj? Could have been 1,000 tawafs. No. What is the climax? Climax is alafa. Climax is istighfar. climax is Tawbah. Allah Ta'ala wanted to show the whole world and the whole Ummah that my maximum love, it's not because of the clothing of Ihram they wore. It's not even because of the Tawaf they did. It's not even because of the Sa'i they did. It's not because of the Rami they did. My maximum love is going to come unto them. Sayyidina Rasulullah even said in the hadith, Al-Hajj Arafah. That Hajj is Arafah. And what happens on Arafah? The mu'mineen, they make Tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah yuhibbu tawabi. That's why he always starts with that he is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So we should make Tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of this was how to make true Tawbah. Then comes the second test that all of us have, and all brothers and sisters who come back from Hajj are going to have. And that is that after we make true Tawbah, how do we be true to our Tawbah? After we make true Tawbah, how can we remain true to our Tawbah? We say in Urdu, ek hai sachi Tawbah, ek hai pakki Tawbah. One is true Tawbah, one is being true, remaining steadfast on Tawbah. So for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sayyidina Rasulullah have mentioned some a'mal in Quran. Number one is to make istighfar, even after Tawbah. Even after making true Tawbah, to keep making istighfar. That's what Allah Ta'ala said in Quran to the Hujjaj, that after you come back from Arafat and Muzdalifah, you should make istighfar. After Arafat and Muzdalifah, when according to Hadith you've been wiped away from all sin, you're like a newborn baby, you should keep making istighfar. Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, ثُمَّ أَفِيذُ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَاضَ النَّاسِ. And then when you return from that place which people will be returning to from Hajj, means from Arafat and Muzdalifah, وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ, and you make istighfar, إِنَّ اللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, then indeed you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving, is all merciful. So Sayyidina Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala used to say, that if you make istighfar, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive the sins, your sins, even if they're as much as all the foam on all the oceans of the world. So we should keep making istighfar. Keep making istighfar. Number two is tilawati Qur'an. Tilawati Qur'an. Regular daily tilawat, reading and recitation of Qur'an helps a person be true to their tawbah. Why? Because Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Qur'an, فَإِذَا مَرِثُ فُهُوَ يَشْفِي, means the Qur'an has a shifa. And what type of shifa? Yes, it may have shifa for certain physical, but obviously, ultimately, primarily, Qur'an is a book of spirituality. So it means it has a shifa, it has a cure for spiritual sins. Allah Ta'ala said in Qur'an, وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, that it is a shifa for what is inside their hearts, inside their breasts. What does it mean? What is inside of us? Inside is the feelings of sin. Inside is lust, right? It's not outward. You can't touch somebody's lust. Inside, it's inside. Anger, inside. Envy, inside. Arrogance and pride, conceit, inside. Hatred, negative feelings for fellow Muslim, inside, right? It's all inside. It's ma fi sudur. So what is Qur'an? The Qur'an is shifa'un lima fi sudur. The Qur'an al-Kareem is a cure, is a healing for what is inside. So after a person makes true Tawbah, if they want to remain steadfast on Tawbah, first thing is istighfar, and second thing was to regularly recite Qur'an. Third thing is to recite durood and salawat and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because as Allah Ta'ala said in the Qur'an, when you recite salawat and the Maker of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hadith, that when you recite salawat on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you send blessings and salutations to him, then Allah Ta'ala sends 10 salawat on you. So those 10 salawat that will come on us will help us remain steadfast, help us be true to our tawbah. This is why Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq used to say, As-salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amhaqa al-dhunuba min al-ma'i badin lil-nar, is more wiping away, erases sins even more than cold water erases fire. Erases sins even more than cold water erases fire. Fourth thing that can help us in being true to our Tawbah is to keep the company of the pious. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. That, oh, you believe, you should adopt taqwa. And wakunu, and you should keep always putting your being, ma'as-sadiqeen, in front of and with, in the company of the being of those who are sadiqeen. What does sadiqeen mean? Sadiqeen mean those who are more true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than we are. Those who are more true to the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than we are. If we keep keeping ourselves in their company, right, we will be true to our tawbah. Hadith in Sahih Muslim, long hadith, portion of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels about these sadiqeen, hum rijalun la yashqa jaleesuhum, that they are such people that the jaleez, even the person who sits with them, even the person who just sits on the back and the periphery of their gathering, la yashqa, he will never become shaqi. What does shaqi mean in Arabic? Shaqi means exactly what we don't want to be, that person who dies in a state of sin without having made tawbah or having their tawbah accepted for that sin. That's called shaqi. And what happens then, they have to face that sin on the day of judgment. And when they face that sin on the day of judgment, then they will be rejected. Literally, shaqi means rejected, repudiated, abased, right? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the sins that they used to do. And the next thing that we have to do is make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a hadith in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban, that Sayyidina Rasulullah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْتَحْيِ مِنَ الْأَبْدِ أَنْ يَرْفَعَ إِلَيْهِ يَدَيْهِ فَيْرُدُّهُمَا خَائِبَتَيْنِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, literally it means, يَسْتَحْيِ, literally means Allah ta'ala is embarrassed. Means Allah Ta'ala is shamed, but those English words don't seem to fit. So it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala views it as beneath himself, that if any one of his servants and slaves raises his hands in dua, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should let them lower their hands and they go away empty-handed. Allah Ta'ala is too embarrassed to do that. You can give an example that Allah Ta'ala has told us to make dua for, right? In Quran, فَدُؤُوهُ, that you should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even us, if we tell somebody to come to us for something, and then we don't give it to them, we ourselves told them to come to us. So we would be embarrassed, we couldn't view it, we would view it as beneath ourselves, that I myself told him to come, and then I didn't give it to him. You can imagine, like, you tell all the children in the family, come, come, I'm going to give you candy, then all the children come, and then you don't give them any candy. You can say, whatever person is that? He himself told us to come and get the candy. So just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has told us to make dua to him. He himself has said that he is mustajib, he answers, he hears, and he answers those duas. So one Arab poet who used to say, Man futiha lahu babu fi du'ai, that person to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door of dua, فَتَحْتَ لَهُ أَبْوَابُ الْإِجَابَةِ, that underneath the door of dua is the door of Allah Ta'ala's answering it. Means that if Allah Ta'ala has given you the tawfiq, has inspired you to move your mouth and tongue in dua for him, it means that Allah Ta'ala has pre-decided that he is going to listen to and grant your dua. Means that the very ability to make dua is from the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it means that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes dua come from our tongue, it's a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give from us. But the mistake we make, and why our duas don't help us to being remaining steadfast on tawbah, is there are two things you were supposed to make dua to Allah ta'ala for. We're supposed to make dua for both. But many times either we forget one or we almost forget it. And what are the two things? The first thing is to ask Allah ta'ala the things that we want from him, from the permissible things in this world, things that are allowed in Sharia, to ask Allah Ta'ala the things that we want from him. Second type of dua is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the things that he wants from us. That's the one that most of us forget. There's lots of people today who make dua to Allah Ta'ala for a career, for a job, for a promotion, for a wife, for children, for money, for this, for that. Those are the things that we want from him. There are very few people who make dua for taqwa, for fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for being regular in fajr, for being punctual in jama'at, right? For the things that Allah Ta'ala wants from us. So actually the adab of dua, adab, you know, adab, the proper, genuine, sincere way to make dua is to first make dua first ask and beg Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for those things that He wants from us. And then when you've exhausted yourself begging for those things, then you ask those things that you want from Him. This is what our mashayikh teach us. They teach us of adab, how to make dua to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. If we can change our dua and make it like that, then our duas will be a means that will help us remain steadfast on our tawbah. So we should first ask from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala the things that He wants from us. Haya, if you were here last time I came, to beg Allah Ta'ala for haya. Because that's, we may not be what we want for ourselves, some of us, but it's what Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala wants for us. Shyness, reservedness. First make dua to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for those things that Allah Ta'ala wants from us. Another thing that helps us remain steadfast on tawbah is remembrance of death. This can be done by visiting the graves. Don't get me wrong, I mean rephrase visiting cemeteries. Put it that way. There's some slight difference. Visiting cemeteries, unmarked graves, no need to any particular grave, but going and standing at the cemetery, preferably Muslim cemetery, so when you're there you can make dua for everybody in that section of the graveyard, right? But then standing there and just looking, that this is actually my destination. This is my real home. This is the real home I have to decorate. This is my, what you call the British English, DIY. Yes, I will be given a DIY cupboard. Yes, do it yourself. Settle and decorate your cover yourself. It's up to you. You're going to get same plot. When a person goes, we don't do this enough. It's also amazing I've seen with Muslims, amazing. When do we go to the graveyard? We go when somebody who is our relative or friend passed away. So we actually go for the burial. So you would think at the time of burial, at the time of tathfeen, a person would be even more shaken up. I'm amazed. People are still talking on their cell phone. People are walking towards the grave, still laughing. People are not even walking in adab on top of their, walking on top of other people's graves. Not even walking on the path that is carved. Just adab. Allahu Akbar. And sometimes I wonder that so many of the early ulama used to write this. Ziyarat al-Qubur, as something that would stimulate the heart, I think they would be stunned if they saw us, that how we go into the graveyard, even at the time of tathfeen, even at the time of burial, and we come out completely unaffected. They would be stunned. That what's wrong with these people? What type of rocks do they have as a heart, that they went all the way into the graveyard, they even lowered the body into the grave, they even put the soil on the grave, and they walked out and their heart didn't even melt a little bit. They would be stunned. Ziyarat al-Qubur, but with an idea, mentality, that this is where I'm going. This is where I'm going. You know, some mashayikh, they used to even teach this type of muraqabah, called muraqabah maut. They would say you should close your eyes and imagine that you have died. Imagine that somebody is doing ghusl of you. Imagine that you have been lifted up and you are being carried on the stretcher towards your grave. Imagine that you have been lowered into the grave. Imagine that people are throwing earth on you. Imagine that one by one they are leaving, and even the last, oh, your most loving relative, he's also left. And now you're all alone. And now Munkar and Nakir have come and they're asking you questions in the grave. They used to sit and make such a strong exercise in their mind. Why? So that they could feel the remembrance of death in preparation of afterlife. So the more and more a person remembers death, the more and more they will be true in their tawbah. So first thing we mentioned was how to make true tawbah. Second thing was how to be true to your tawbah. And last thing for tonight, which is the most truest thing about tawbah, is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our tawbah. Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, wa ana tawwabur rahim. And you can't get the feel for this English. Wa ana, and Allah Ta'ala is explaining himself. Maybe I'll explain a little bit here in Urdu and then I'll explain it in English. Wa ana tawwabur rahim. Allah Ta'ala apna taaruf karwana Quran. Wa ana aur me hum me at-tawwab, me to tawba qubool karne wala zaat hoon. Ar-Rahim, me to intahai rahmat nazr karne wala zaat. Means in English that Allah Ta'ala is introducing himself in Quran. Allah Ta'ala is describing himself in Quran. Wa ana, and me at-tawwab, I am at-tawwab. You saw the same word there, tawabin, same word here, at-tawwab. Just like the Wabeen are those who make sinners who make tawbah over and over again, when Allah Ta'ala says He is a tawab, it means Allah Ta'ala accepts tawbah over and over again. Allahu Akbar. At-tawab. And then second Allah Ta'ala said, Al-Rahim. So what does this tawbah mean then? What is this trueness about tawbah? So tawbah can mean, number one, it means to turn away. It means to turn away. Turn away from sin, turn away from ghafla, turn away from dalala, turn away from heedlessness, turn away from being astray, turn away from ignorance. But tawbah has a second meaning, which is why in Quran it almost always comes with this word ila. Just like it means turn away, it also means to turn towards. Tubu ilallah, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does it mean then when we are at tawab? It means that our job was to do the turning away from sin. And then if we do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be at tawab, which does it mean that He will do the turning towards to us. Allah Ta'ala said, Anat tawab, then what does it mean? Then you translate it this way. Oh, Anat tawab, in me, I am the one who will keep turning towards you. As long as you turn towards me. Al-Rahim, and how will I turn towards you? As Dhul Jalal? No. As Dhu Intiqam, as the vengeful one? No. How will I be At-Tawab? How will I keep turning towards you? An-At-Tawab Al-Rahim. I will keep turning towards you with my mercy. Allah, that's our Allah. That's who our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Wa An-At-Tawab Al-Rahim. Subhanallah. What a beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we keep turning towards Him in sin, Allah Ta'ala will keep turning towards us in mercy. Can you get a better deal than that? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be like that. Keep turning towards me after sin, and I will keep turning towards you with mercy. So this is what it means. Allah Ta'ala said a hadith Qudsi. The Prophet ﷺ narrates in a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Fin atani yamshi, that if my servant he comes walking to me, فَأَتَيْتُهُ harwala, my mercy will come fleeing, running towards him. If he sheds one tear over one sin, I will send a billion mercies on a billion of his sins. If he tries to do one amal for my sake, I will give him tawfiq and let him do millions of amal for my sake. Allah can do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do it. So now it's up to you and me. It's our choice. We want to make tawbah. We could have made tawbah any night. But alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala gathered us tonight on the night before Yawm al-Arafah. Now maybe Allah ta'ala didn't gather us tonight in Mina, but He gathered us in His masjid. He gathered us in His home. And literally right now, this very second, millions of Muslims are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should we not be a part of that? Why should we not feel that? Why shouldn't we make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And you know, honestly, we have much more reason to make tawbah. You know why? Because me and you, we're not just any Muslim. One is the non-practicing Muslim. There are even some non-believing Muslims. But me and you, we're the believing Muslim. Me and you, we're the practicing Muslim. We are the worshipping, musalli Muslim. Means whenever we commit a sin, we didn't do it because we were non-believing. We didn't do it because we were non-practicing. No. So when me and you do a sin, it's even worse. Even worse. When me and you did a sin, wasn't out of ignorance, wasn't out of doubt whether Allah Ta'ala existed. No. When me and you do a sin, we did it for the pleasure of that sin. Allahu Akbar. That's even worse in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's eyes. We did it knowingly. We did it deliberately. We believed in Allah, we still did the sin. We prayed to Allah in masjid, we still did the sin. We come for Jummah, we still did the sin. It's even worse when me and you do sin. We did so cautiously, we did it deliberately. So they call ilman iradatan. Deliberate, thoughtful, knowing commission of sin. So it means that me and you have to also make deliberate, thoughtful, knowing tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be more strong in our tawbah, more deep in our tawbah, more true in our tawbah. And what type of tawbah do we need? We need to feel so much shame and remorse and regret over that sin, that the remorse and regret is more than the pleasure we felt in that sin. That's the tawbah we have to make. If you have a person who's a non-Muslim, or non-believing Muslim, they can just take Imam, they're done. If a person was a non-practicing Muslim, you just bring them back to Salah, practice, they'd be done. But what about me and you? Already believing, already practicing. Already believing, already practicing. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this Zulm in Quran. Zulm. Allah anfusihim. They commit Zulm. They wrong their own selves. What does it mean? Why? Injustice. Why? Because they knew Allah. They believed in Allah. They worshipped to Allah. They made sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they still did sin. That zulm. Zulm. They were unjust. They were unfair. They were untrue to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we actually are madloom. We are zalim and our iman is madloom. Basically, we are wrongdoers. And who have we done wrong to? We have done wrong to our very iman. So we have to change. We have to change. And this is why Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Same asrafu, same thing like zulm. Oh, Allah Ta'ala said, قُلْ, say my beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Announce to them on my behalf, يَا عِبَادِي. Beautiful ayah of Quran. Ya ibadi means to abhi bhi mere bande. You're still mine. Ya, the letter ya means mine. Ya ibadi means, oh my servants. The ones you are doing, sin on yourselves. You could do all the sinning you want. You can stop. You cannot stop being mine. So Allah Ta'ala saying in Quran, you can do all the sinning you want. You still can't stop being mine. Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never ever despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can run as hard and fast as you want in sin, you can never outrun the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're still mine, you're still in the reach of my mercy. Then Allah ta'ala then continues, inna allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Inna Allah, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guaranteed, yaghfiru, forgives, al-dhanuba, all sins, jami'a, entirely. But you have to turn to Him. You have to ask Him. You have to present yourself to Him. That's what they're going to do in Arafah. They're going to present themselves. They're going to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we have to do tonight. And Ya Allah, every sin I ever do, I confess it. I admit it. I present it to you. I do iqrar. I attest. I admit. I acknowledge every sin I did with my eye. Every sin I did with my tongue. Every sin I thought with my mind. Every sin I felt in my breast. Every sin I imagined. Every single sin, Ya Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, did to myself. Every sin I did to others. Allah Ta'ala, I accept and present all of it to you. And I'm not going to rest in these 10 days of Zulhijjah, I'm not going to rest on this 8th and 9th left of Zulhijjah until I can also get the same mercy, the same rahmah, the same maghfirah, the same forgiveness that you're going to send down on Arafah. Because just like you are Al-Ghafoor and Ghafar for them, you are Al-Ghafoor and Ghafar for me. Just like you are Ar-Rahman and Rahim for them, the Hujjaj, you are Ar-Rahman and Rahim for me. You are At-Tawwab for me. If you bring true tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find true acceptance in Him. If you bring true tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find true acceptance in Him. If you bring true istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find the true meaning of what it is that He is Al-Ghafoor and Al-Ghafar. If you truly seek His mercy, you will find that He is Arhamar Rahimeen, truly the most merciful of all the merciful ones. And that's what Allah Ta'ala wants. Allah Ta'ala wants us dearly and deeply. He wants us to turn to Him. He wants us to seek His forgiveness. That's what Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said in Quran, وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَىٰ دَارِ السَّلَامِ. That Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is inviting towards Dar es Salaam. Each and every one of us. Allah Ta'ala wants every single mu'min. If they can't make it through taqwa, then Allah Ta'ala made another way. Not everyone can make it through taqwa. How many of us could say we can enter Jannah on the basis of taqwa? Allahu Akbar. Very few. So Allah Ta'ala made another big, big gate. That's called tawbah. That's called tawbah. And condition to make tawbah, you need sin. Allahu Akbar, we all fulfill the condition. Second condition, that you want to leave sin. You want to leave sin. You're embarrassed of sin. You want to erase that sin. Everything we said tonight. So, I will just end with one ayah and one hadith. Okay, I already told you, وَأَنَا التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I'm at-tawwab, I'm al-raheem. So we should on this night make ourselves abdul tawwab and abdul raheem. And why should we not be willing to sacrifice everything for that Rabb of ours, who says He always wants to turn towards us? Why should we not turn towards Him? And if Allah Ta'ala can accept our tawbah on this night, then Sayyidina Rasulullah mentioned a beautiful hadith that's been narrated both by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. And that hadith is like this, that a mu'min will be brought to his Rabb on the Day of Judgment. A believer will be brought in front of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. And then Allah Ta'ala will envelop him in His mercy, will enshroud him in His mercy. Almost you can imagine like this, like a cloud of mercy, such that that person will be one on one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in the shroud of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Then Allah Ta'ala will ask him, in a sense will make him accept and admit to each and every one of his sins, and will ask him, Allah Ta'ala will address him, that, oh my servant, do you remember doing such and such a sin? And he will say, Rabbi, my Rabb, yes, I remember. Then Allah Ta'ala will count his second sin. Do you remember such and such a sin? He will say, Rabbi, I remember. Then Allah Ta'ala will count out each and every single sin. Ya Allah. Allah Ta'ala will himself, kalam, he will address in his own divine speech each and every single sin. And for each one, the servant will say, Rabbi, he'll always say, Rabbi, that my Rabb, I remember. My Rabb, I remember. And then after it is done, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, Allah ta'ala will say, I covered it up for you in the life of this world, and I forgive it for you today. And who are these people? These were the people who made tawbah for all of their sins. So if we make tawbah for all of our sins, then Allah ta'ala can delete it, cover it in this world, and only Allah Ta'ala will know it. So one process we will have to go through. Because Allah Ta'ala wants us to see and witness His mercy on the Day of Judgment. And He will count each and every sin out. And then Allah Ta'ala will say, and I forgive it out of my mercy. And then that person will go to Jannah. This is the relationship between us and our Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala's At-Tawwab Ar-Rahim. And we have to make ourselves amongst the tawbabeen, amongst the true and sincere seekers of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tonight, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn to us with His mercy. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Inshallah, we'll make some recitation of dua and kalimat of tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran, Tubu ilallahi jami'a ayyuhal mu'minun la'allakum tuflihoon. That you should make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O believers, jami'ah, together. That's one way of making tawbah, is alone in your home. One way of making tawbah is in a big gathering like Arafat or like Masjid. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ So that because Allah Ta'ala wishes that you should have falah, you should have success and joy. We will make tawbah to Allah Ta'ala together on this night. One way to make tawbah is Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW taught in Hadith, جَدَّدُوا إِمَانَكُمْ That you should renew your iman, continually re-pledge yourself to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. So we will again re-pledge ourselves to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala with words of iman, and we will make some words of istighfar, and then inshallah we'll make dua. So first, repeat these words of iman after me: Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Amantu billahi. وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره من الله تعالى والبعث بعد الموت آمنت بالله كما هو بأسمائه وصفاته وقبلت جميع أحكامه إقرارا باللسان وتصديقا بالقلب أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أستغفر الله ربي من كل ذنب وأتوب إليه أستغفر الله ربي من كل ذنب وأتوب إليه وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين آمين Alhamdulillah, by reciting these words, all of us have made our true tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we make some few dhikr azkar, daily recitation of Quran, daily istighfar, daily durood sharif, and if we try all the time to keep our heart remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, feeling feelings for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, feeling aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah ta'ala we can make sure that we remain steadfast and true to our tawbah. Before we make dua, inshallah, we'll make a short zikr of the heart. Close your eyes and bow your head. Try to reflect upon everything that was said and heard. Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ And may the dhikr of your Rabb inside of yourself تَذَرُّوَنْ humbly, خِيفَةً silently, secretly. Ya Allah, we make need that we are remembering you inside of our heart, reflecting on your mercy, reflecting on your generosity, reflecting on your kindness. And Ya Allah, you said in Quran, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ That if we remember you, you would remember us. Ya Allah, we ask that you remember us by sending the nur of hidayah onto our heart, the nur of your rahmah onto our heart, that you purify our heart of its sin, that you increase our heart in our love and obedience to you, and we make dhikr of you by focusing on your ismi azam, ismi janala, as you said in Quran, wadhkur isma rabbik, and we make niyat that humbly, secretly in our heart, we are calling out your name, as if our qalb, our spiritual heart, is calling Allah, Allah, Allah.
وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا يا رب كريم, you are our Rabb, you are such a kind and generous Rabb, you are such a soft and gentle Rabb, you are such a loving and forgiving Rabb. ظلمنا أنفسنا, now that we accept our sins, we acknowledge our sins, we confess to our sins, ya Allah, even though we believed in you, even though we had your Quran, even though we believed in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though we had his sunnah, ya Allah, still we disobeyed you, we dishonored his sunnah, we dishonored the deen. Zalamna anfusana, ya Allah, we have wronged ourselves, we have mountains of sins and we are not in Mina, we have mountains of sins yet we are not in Arafah, but ya Rabbi Kareem, we have brought mountains of sins to this masjid, to your home, ya Allah, ya Rabbi Kareem, ask that you send your rahmah, your mercy on us. Send your maghfirah, your forgiveness upon us. Ya Allah, forgive us for each and every one of our sins. Ya Allah, we are helpless in our sin. We are hopeless in our sin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, take us out of our sin. Bring us into a life of taqwa. Ya Allah, drown us into taqwa. Adorn us into taqwa. Cloak us in taqwa. Enshroud us in taqwa. Put the bouquet of taqwa. Give us the garland of taqwa. Ya Rabbi Kareem, give us the libas of taqwa. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we want to be people of taqwa. We are sick and tired of our hypocrisy. We are sick and tired of our sin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have no other being to turn to, no other one to present our weakness to. Ya Allah, we are the weakest members of your ummah, the most needy members of your ummah, the most undeserving of your ummah. But Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are the most merciful Rabb. You are Alhamdul Rahimeen, Tuhibu Al-Afwa. Ya Allah, you love to love, forgive. You are the most generous forgiver. Ya Allah, forgiving befits you. Forgiving is beloved to you. Ya Allah, forgive us sinners on this night. Ya Rabbi Kareem, bring us into the nur of taqwa, into the nur of hidayah, into the nur of haya, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Bring us into the nur of haya, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Bring us into the nur of haya, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, we want to be your true servants and slaves. We want to be your loyal servants and slaves. We want to be your loving, devoted servants and slaves. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept our tawbah on this night. Make it a true tawbah in our heart. Make us true in our tawbah hereafter. Make us steadfast in our tawbah hereafter. Ya Allah, we never want to go back to sin. We never want to miss another prayer. We never want to sleep through another fajr. We never want to skip another salah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us at least amongst the Muslimin. Make us at least regular in our five salah. Make us fulfill the fara'id, Ya Allah. Make us fulfill the wajibat, Ya Allah. Adorn us with the sunnah, Ya Allah. Make us your beloved, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, you brought us this far. You made us amongst the believing Muslimin. You made us amongst the practicing Muslimin. Ya Allah, make us amongst the loving Muslimin. Make us amongst your muhibbin. Make us amongst your true and sincere lovers, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Take out all the unlawful loves from our heart. Take out all the love of unlawful world from our heart. Take out all the love of unlawful beauty from our heart. And Ya Allah, put a love for you in our heart. Love for deen in our heart. Love for Quran in our heart. Love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our heart. Love for the sunnah in our heart. Put a love for taqwa in our heart. Ya Allah, we are ashamed at the pleasure of sin. Ya Allah, let us feel the pleasure of taqwa. Let us learn the pleasure of taqwa. Let us become inebriated on the pleasure of taqwa. Ya Rabbi Kareem, take away the pleasure of sin, grant us the pleasure of taqwa, grant us the pleasure of fear, grant us the pleasure of love for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us a heart that is always fearful of you, grant us a heart that is always loving of you, grant us a heart that is always remembering and aware of you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask that you come back into our lives, come back into our salah, come back into our dua, come back into our sajda. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we don't want to be unfeeling anymore, we want to be feeling mu'mineen, passionate mu'mineen. mu'mineen, devout and devoted mu'mineen. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, forgive us for all the hurt we have caused others, the harm we have caused others, the envy, jealousy we had for others. Ya Allah, forgive us for our own spouses that we hurt. Forgive us for our own children that we disappointed. Forgive us for our own parents that we disrespected. Ya Rabbi Kareem, forgive us for our own neighbors who we dishonored. Ya Rabbi Kareem, forgive us for our friends who we belittled. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we want to become people of adab, people of akhlaq. Grant us the adab and akhlaq of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us his fikr and worry and concern for the ummah. Grant us his compassion and softness for the ummah. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we present our dirty selves to you on this night. Ya Allah, we have no ihram, we have no tawaf, we have no sa'i, we have only our tawbah for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, which you said in Quran, wa ana tawwabur rahim. Ya Allah, anta tawwab, anta rahim, nahnu ibaduka ya Allah, anta rabbuna ya Allah, faghfir lana ya Allah, warhamna ya Allah, tubu alayna ya Allah, fa'fu anna ya Allah, waj'alna min al-muttaqin ya Allah, waj'alna min al-mu'minin ya Allah, waj'alna min al-muhsinin ya Allah, waj'alna min al-mukhlisin ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, accept our tawbah, give us maqbool tawbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept the hajj of every haji, accept the dua of every haji. Ya Allah, the millions of men and women are making dua to you on the tents of Mina, tomorrow on the plains of Arafah. Ya Allah, grant each and every one of them a hajj maqbool, a hajj mabrur, a hajj mashkur. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make their hajj a means of transforming this ummah. Put so much power in their hands, power from your rahmah, power from your maghfirah. Make it a means of transforming this whole ummah, Ya Rabbi Kareem. And Ya Allah, when every one of those hujjaj remember this ummah and their du'as, Ya Allah, accept us as a member of that ummah. Let those du'as fall upon us as well. Keep us under the shade of one another's du'as. Unite this ummah in love for you. Unite this ummah in love for one another. Unite this ummah, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, send your special mercy on the Muslimin, the Mutaathireen, the oppressed and the downtrodden, the victims of injustice in this ummah. Ya Allah, send your special mercy on their heart. Send your special tenderness on their heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, soothe and console their hearts and accept us for the khidmat of this ummah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, those of us who have yet to go on Hajj, Ya Allah, we ask that you call us soon. Call us next year. Call us to the tents of Mina. Call us to the plains of Arafah. Accept us to do tawaf of your Kaaba. Accept us to do sa'i between Safa and Marwa. Accept us to do the ziyarah of your Mahbub. Ya Rabbi Kareem, and those who have gone before, Ya Allah, call us again. Let us all go again and again. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us amongst the hujjaj. Make us amongst the mu'tamineen. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Rabbana takabbal minna innaka antas samiul adeem. Wa tubu alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.